Good morning, church. Open your Bibles, if you would. Romans chapter number 8. I am going to point out my brother and sister-in-law, Gary and Carol, are back here, sitting on the back. I didn't get a chance to let him know that I saved him a spot right up here in the front. But you just stay right there, Gary. But it's good to be home in Bangor, good to be home at Cross Point Church, and what a delight to be able to open the Word of God to you this morning. As Brother Jerry had mentioned, I'd gotten saved here, got baptized here, surrendered my life to the Lord in another service here, and then later felt the call of God into the ministry, and so and then graduated from Bangor Christian High. So this church and this school has made a life-changing difference for me. And so I commend you as a church family. Pastor Jerry, we attended Bible college together, had some classes together, and then got to serve here just 2 short years when I did my internship and you got started here. And what an amazing run. God bless you. You are a man of God. And let's give your pastor a round of applause, shall we? He's been on that journey, and what a journey it's been. And so we just praise the Lord for that. So it's pretty awesome being here this weekend with Bangor Christian Celebration 50 plus years, and to reconnect with friends and faculty and fellow graduates. It's been awesome, and the joy continues today to be able to, what a great honor for me to be able to preach at my home church. And so thank you for being here this morning. We've all weekend we've celebrated the legacy of both the church and the school, and now I want to continue that spirit of celebration by turning our attention and celebrating the wonderful gift of salvation that God has given to us. That's why I've asked you to turn to Romans chapter number 8. Look at it, if you would, with me. Verse number 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." What an awesome realization that is, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called; whom he called, them he also justified; whom he justified, them he also glorified." In other words, we are on a journey of getting to know the Lord and growing in our relationship with him. And then it says, verse 31, "What shall we say then to all these things? If God be for us," I love this, "who can be against us?" Now we know the world is against us. We know the devil is against us. We know that many things confront us, and it's a challenge to live for the Lord in this year and time. And yet he says, "Who can be against us?" In other words, who can thwart us? Who can disturb us? Who can cause us to quit following the Lord? I love verse 32, and this is our text. "He that spared not his own Son," think of it, "but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Look at verse 32 again. "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him," that is with Christ, "also freely give us all things?" Now this is a wonderful passage of scripture, each one of these verses, and it would take us some time to unpack all of that. But my focus this morning is on verse 32. My message today is entitled "God's Great Wonder Ball of Salvation." You might be scratching your head already. What in the world is a wonder ball? I didn't know until my first pastor down at Rock Hill Baptist Church in Brownsboro, Texas. I was visiting an elderly lady. She was in her mid-80s, Nellie Featherston. was her name. You talk about a person that was a joy to be around. It was Miss Nellie. She loved the Lord. The joy of the Lord oozed out all over her. And I got to visit with her, and it was happened to be December. And so naturally, the conversation rolled around to Christmas time. And as part of the conversation, I just asked her, I said, Miss Nellie, do you have a favorite Christmas memory? And she didn't have to hesitate at all. She said, oh, yes, I sure do. And it was when I was 10 years old, and I got from my grandmother a Wonder Ball. And so I asked her, what is a Wonder Ball? And she explained to me that a Wonder Ball was a large bundle or roll of yarn, colorful yarn. And she said when the gift was placed on her lap, it covered her lap. And she began to open it and very quickly realized it was a giant ball of yarn. And as she began to, as she proceeded to unwrap that and get it all, her grandmother explained, now, you're out of school during Christmas break, so for the next week and a half, you and I are going to sit together and I'm going to teach you how to knit an afghan. What she didn't know is the next day, the day after Christmas, as she began to work on that afghan and follow her grandmother's instruction, that there were trinkets and toys hidden inside that giant ball of yarn. And by the end of the day, she was already uncovering the first surprise. And it happened to be a beautiful blue ribbon. And she immediately put it on, her hair back and tied that ribbon. And she was strutting around like that was the best thing in the world. And then over the next couple of days, there were other things. There was a silver ring that she uncovered, and she didn't see it coming. She just heard it fall on the wooden floor. And so she looked down. Sure enough, there's a silver ring. She picked it up, and she said, it's still in my jewelry box in the bedroom. She had had it all those years. And she also uncovered some individually wrapped candies. Best of all, right in the middle, a yellow top was another thing she got, a wooden top that was painted yellow, and she got a lot of joy out of that. But right in the middle was a 3-inch store-bought pocket doll. And that was right in the middle of the ball. And she just beamed as she was telling me about this Wonder Ball. And after she told me, she said, you know, she said that time of sitting with Grandma and working on that afghan and the conversations we had, she said, I remember that. And not only that, the gift, it stretched Christmas out to nearly 2 weeks long. And she said that was the best Christmas gift I ever received. Well, I can't help but think of Nellie's Wonder Ball when I read Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You realize when you and I got saved, God gifted us not only with salvation, but with the Wonder Ball of salvation. In other words, there are a whole lot of bonuses that go with being saved. There's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of extras. Now, when I first got saved, I realized that my eternity changed from hell to eternal life in heaven. And that was more than enough for me. I was content with that. But as I've grown in my relationship with the Lord and walked with the Lord now 50 plus years, I've realized that's not all we got. God has blessed us with so many other things. In verse 32, God's not only given us his son, but he's freely given us all things. How many of you remember Gomer Pyle? You got to have some age on you to remember him. But whenever I read this, I think of surprise, surprise, surprise. Gomer Pyle would say that. And because God has chalked our salvation full with many, many surprises. So this morning, I want to explore some of the wonderful and surprising things that God has given to us as his children. First and foremost, we've gained, and I love this, Jesus himself. That is a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's not only our Lord, but he's our Savior and he's our friend. Paul asked in verse 32, how shall he, that is the Heavenly Father, give us all things? Understand that although we receive tons of side benefits in this salvation deal, the main thing, the biggest thing, the best thing of all was that we got Jesus. And he walks beside us. If he was all we got, listen, he's more than enough, amen? He is more than enough. He's more by far than we ever deserve. Ephesians 3:17 tells us that at the moment of salvation, Christ came to dwell in our hearts. That word dwell means that he permanently settles in and he resides in us. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 says it like this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, one of the great dynamics of Christian living, one of the great dynamics or the secrets of daily victory is that Christ indwells each believer and he lives his life through us. That is, as we yield ourselves to him. There's a dynamic in Christ living in and through us. The old poem says this, Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my heart, love divine, peace divine, Jesus in my heart. Anybody ever found a four-leaf clover? I remember spending hours going through the grass and the clover field, and I found a few in my life. I hate to tell you how many hours it took, though. But did you know that the odds of finding a four-leaf clover is 1 in 10,000? The odds of being struck by lightning is 1 out of 2 million. The chances of being audited by the IRS, should I skip this one? Is 1 out of 220. But don't worry too much. More than half of the IRS audits, you end up getting more money back. It's true. Just don't be on the other end of that. The odds of winning the Mega Millions jackpot is 1 in 302 million. But listen, folks, the odds of God forsaking his children is never. He will never forsake his children. He's with us 24/7. So the chance of being forsaken by the Lord is zero, zip, nada. There is no possibility of Christ ever abandoning his own. So the fact that we have Jesus himself living in us is the greatest of all the benefits found in God's wonder ball of salvation. Could I have an amen on that? Thank God that he is with us and dwells in us. Another benefit in God's wonder ball is that we've gained a clean heart. Amen for that. See, when you and I were converted to Christ, he forgave us all our sin and he cleansed us completely. Now, it's interesting to note that in the Gospels, Jesus healed the sick, he healed the lame, he healed the blind, and he healed the diseased, but he cleansed lepers. Now, why the difference? That's because in the Bible, leprosy is a picture of sin. And sin doesn't need to be healed, it needs to be cleansed. The world wants to call it an alcohol problem, a drug habit, a gambling or a porn addiction. The Bible calls it sin. And we need to be redeemed and cleansed from our sin. 1 John 1:7 tells us that only the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Little Bobby's mom told him to go wash up before she took him to his piano lesson. And although Bobby said, okay, mom, she knew that she needed to double check before they walked out the door. And sure enough, when she inspected his wash job, she discovered, as a boy would do, he only washed one half of his face. And so mom asked him, why in the world would you wash just one side of your face and not both sides of your face? And he answered, saying, because my teacher will only see that side. Typical boy. Well, folks, I'm glad to tell you that when Jesus cleaned us, when he cleansed us, he washed us all over. He forgave us of all our sin, not just a part. And thank God that he forgives us like that. We've gained a clean heart. In this great wonder ball of salvation, here's the third thing. We've gained an advanced reservation. You ever gotten to a concert or a conference and you get there early because you want to get in before too many people get there and get preferred seating? By the way, folks, there's empty seats up here. Think about that next Sunday. Anyway, but listen, you get there and it's so disappointing when you go to where you want to sit and somebody's already been there and put reserve signs on every seat. But if that reserve sign is there for you, that's a whole different story, isn't it? See, understand that when you and I got saved, we got reserved seating in heaven. No standing in line, no forms to fill out, no vetting process necessary. Listen, when you arrive at heaven's gate, it's going to swing wide open and you're going to be escorted right in. Can you imagine that? Are you excited about one day that's going to happen for those of us who know Christ as our Savior? That's because Revelation 21:27 says, there shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that defileth or anyone that has not yet been forgiven of their sin. But it says, they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. See, the moment you invited Christ into your heart, your name got registered in God's heavenly registry. Our names were written down. You remember back in school days when you tried out for basketball or baseball or cheerleading, whatever it was. By the way, I never tried out for cheerleading. But once the tryouts ended, you knew coach was going to post the players who made the team on the bulletin board. And if your name was on the list, then you made the team. If your name was not on the list, well, unfortunately, you got cut. And how disappointing that was. Well, folks, the moment you and I repented of our sin and invited Jesus Christ into our heart, your name was posted on God's team roster. And here's the good news. He'll never bump you. He'll never cut you. You're on the team for all eternity. There's an old hymn that says, yes, my name's written there on the page white and fair in the book of thy kingdom. Yes, my name's written there. If you've not made a reservation for heaven, come to Jesus Christ today. Receive him as your Savior. Here's a fourth surprise in God's wonder ball of salvation. We've gained throne room access. Hebrews chapter 4, you know it. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, let us therefore come boldly under the throne that we may find grace and help in time of need. In other words, we've got family access to the Lord himself. We can come directly to our Heavenly Father. There was a ship that was going down and the captain called all the crew together. It was just a matter of before the ocean swept over the top of that ship. And so he pulled them all together and says, does anyone here know how to pray? And there was one of the crew members and he raised his hand and yelled from the back of the crew room and said, yes, I know how to pray. And the captain said, then good. You pray while the rest of us put on the life jackets. We're short one. Poor guy. But listen, it's good to know how to pray, amen? But it's more important to know that your Heavenly Father actually hears and answers your prayer. See, we've got throne room access. Now, there are a ton, there's an endless list of all the benefits and extras that we got when we receive Christ as Savior. But let me end with this one. We've gained God's great promises. God's great promises. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Man, when you latch onto a promise and God answers that promise becomes precious, doesn't it? Old Faithful in Yellowstone National Park gets its name from the fact that it's on a pretty regular schedule, unlike some of the other geysers in the park. It follows a pretty dependable schedule. And though there can be a 10-minute margin of error, they say, if the previous eruption was less than 2.5 minutes long, the next eruption will be about 65 minutes long. And if the eruption is longer than 2.5 minutes, then its next one will happen in about 91 minutes. Again, there's a 10-minute measure of difference there. But as accurate as the Old Faithful is, only the Lord and His promises are 100% faithful and true. People will fail you. God will not. The Bible, of course, is full of promises, all kinds of promises. If you're discouraged, for example, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, promises that if we are troubled on every side, yet are we not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. If you need help, Psalm 94, verse 18, promises saying, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, help me, will help me up. If you're afraid, God says, Isaiah 41, 10, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And then he goes on to say, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. If you're feeling guilty, 1 John 3:20 reminds us, for if our heart condemns us, and it does that fairly often, we know who we are, we know what we're made of, we know the failures, and our heart condemns us, but it says, for the child of God, God is greater than our heart, and He knoweth all things. In other words, He identifies us as His child, and He'll not forsake us. If you're weak and weary, Deuteronomy 33, 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. If you're struggling financially, remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 31 and 32. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. And if you're worried or grieving or sick or lonely, if you're dying, understand God has promises to cover every situation. Could I have an amen? Amen. When you and I got saved, folks, we got so much more than just eternal life, as if that wasn't enough. Paul says in Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son didn't spare anything else either. He delivered Jesus up for us. How shall he not, with Christ, give us everything else? We've been blessed with a wonder ball of salvation. Bobby Robinson had been saved out of a hard life of sin. For several years after getting saved, he faithfully served the Lord, was a great witness for Christ, and he even wrote the famous hymn that says, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Sadly, Robinson later wandered away from the Lord and fell back into the old habits of sin and carnality. One day he was traveling and he was seated beside a young lady who was very engrossed in the book that she was reading. After some time of silence, the young woman just kind of randomly, out of the blue, curiously lifted up her head. She handed her book to Mr. Robinson, pointed to a paragraph and asked what he thought of it. And so graciously, he leaned forward, looked at the book, read a few lines, and it shocked him. What he read was, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." That's as far as he got. He recognized those words. Those were the words of the hymn he had written so many years before. Robinson immediately hung his head in shame, and he said to the woman, "Madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote those words many years ago, and I would give 1,000 worlds if I could return to those days." Surprised, she looked at him and she spoke very kindly. She assured him that the streams of mercy mentioned in his song still flowed. Deeply touched by the woman's tenderness, Robinson turned his wandering heart back to the Lord, and his fellowship with God was restored. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment as you reflect on God's goodness to you today? How blessed you really are. Maybe you've wandered away. Maybe you've strayed away. You know, we don't usually do it on purpose. We just get distracted. We just get busy. Things arrest our attention, and before we know it, we've not talked to the Lord. We've not been in His Word. Maybe we've missed church services. We're out of fellowship, not only with the people of God, but with the God of the people. And we need to come back home to the Lord. As you reflect on the many wonderful things God's given to you this morning in this wonder ball of salvation, is it time to come back to Him? Father, I pray that you bless your people, those who have fallen away, strayed away, drifted away. Bring them home. May they make that recommitment to you. Lord, I'm coming home. I pray for those who are faithful in serving and following you. Bless them, encourage them, give them the strength to keep on going. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.